This is an interview with Walter Pestrak for the Youngstown State University Oral History Department. Today's interview is located in Warren, Ohio on May 2, 1977 at 4 p.m. The topic discussed will be on the history of the Democratic Party of Trumbull County by Mark Dittmer. Mr. Pestrak, can you please give me a description of your political background and tell me what motivated you to proceed into the field of politics?
Well, let's start at the beginning. I've always been interested in government since I was a young man. My first initial taste of politics was in 1930 when I was in Warren Harding High School, and I knocked doors for a local candidate, Wally Lynn, who later became mayor. Then in 1932, I campaigned for Roy Hartman for sheriff and held a precinct in the city of Girard. It wasn't until 1947 that I became a candidate. My first venture was to run for Third Ward Council in the city of Warren. I was influenced there by several members of the Warren Fire Department who thought that Warren City Council needed a change and I might be a welcome change for it. My background is I came to Warren when I was 10 years old from a coal mining and steel town, Manesson, Pennsylvania, and in 1924, and went to McKinley School, Central Junior, and graduated from Warren Harding in 1932 in the heat of the Depression. My initial ambition was to be an architect, and the Depression prevented that, so I went into the electrical welding field as an apprentice in 1936 and went to night school, attended, had some university training, and studied electrical engineering at home through the mail. And I had on-the-job training along with it because I worked for several electrical engineers, so that I was able to get my education in that way while it was the hard way. In time, I became a welding engineer at one of the local plants, and during the war, I did liaison work between the welding industry and the Air Force, the Army, the Navy, etc., on all types of weapons. So in 1947, after the war, I ran for city council in the Third Ward, which is predominantly Republican. And being a Democrat, I didn't have much show, but in the process of running for council, I became acquainted with Harold E. Smith, who was running for mayor. And I spent more time campaigning for Harold Smith for mayor than I did Walter Pestrak for council. And as a result, he won the election. He imposed on me, he requested that I become part of his administration, so in 1948, I accepted a position of service and safety director for the city of Warren, and that began my 30-year stint in local Democrat politics. In 1947, I ran for precinct committeeman in my precinct, which was then 3G, later became 2C, and I've been a precinct committeeman now going into my 31st year. That made me a member of the Democrat Central Committee of Trumbull County, and I also became a member of the Executive Committee, which I served for 25 years.
Now, could you give a summary of your years in service as commissioner?
Well, before I do that, Mark, maybe I should indicate that I served as director for two terms and went back in the welder business because I had four sons that required my attention and some income so they could go to college. I ran for mayor in 1959, was successful, became Warren's mayor, one of five or six Democrat mayors in the last 100 years. There's not too many of them. Left the mayor's office, went back in the welder business as a consultant, and came back in 1964 as the first Trumbull County administrator, which I served for 5 years, then left again, went back into the welder business, and was requested in 1972 to run for Trumbull County Commissioner. I was successful then and ran for re-election again in 1976, and here I am on my second term.
What are the ups and downs of being a commissioner, and can you give me a summary of a typical day in office?
Well, a typical day in office, there are no typical days, Mark, because if it rains heavily somewhere, then most of our calls are problems with overabundance of water and no place to drain it. If it's dry, then we have other problems, dust. And a typical day here is that usually starts out in the morning and somebody's looking for a job. One of our key problems is in Trumbull County is that we have a high rate of unemployment. We're geared to a steel automobile economy, which fluctuates up and down. And we have probably 8 or 9% of the workforce unemployed. And there's a tendency that people feel that if they get let out in industry, they can always get a political job, which is not so, because political jobs anymore have advanced from the labor classification into skilled jobs. So that we have calls on welfare. People sometimes feel they do not get adequate welfare, which we have no control, come in and complain about the fact that they either can't get enough or they don't get it in time. Food stamps, and they run a gamut of types of complaint. And then besides the complaints, we have a mountain of paperwork to take care of. We have all types of communications from various divisions in the county, either requesting more money, requesting purchases of certain equipment, requesting advertising for bids. A follow-up on our water and sewer projects involves a lot of paperwork. We're involved in all types of contracts, and so that it's quite busy. I started in 1964 as county administrator when the commissioners only had to meet 4 times a year. And the law was changed later, and we meet every week now, at least 50 times a year, so that being a commissioner now is big business. This is a $1.25 billion corporation, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of attendance to do your job right.
Can you mention specifically upon the ups and downs?
Ups and downs? Well, I don't know. What do you mean by ups and downs?
What you like about being a commissioner, or what you like about being a commissioner?
Well, being a commissioner, there are three of us, so sometimes it becomes a Russian roulette in that I have been the mayor, and I made the single decision, either I made a wrong decision or a right decision. Decisions here are made by two of three commissioners, so that I'm a minority commissioner, being a Democrat with two Republican colleagues, and my philosophy may vary from their philosophy. I know it does, because I espouse the Democrat philosophy and they espouse the Republican, so that on certain matters we disagree and I have to vote no, and that would be the downs. For the most part, though, we get along very well.
I'd like to ask you to give an analysis of your main political philosophies and creeds and how you put them into practice.
Well, I think you first determine when you're a young man what your philosophy is, and then later it has to fit into one of the major parties if you intend to participate in our process. I came from the coal mines in the steel towns of Pennsylvania, and so that my dad was an immigrant, and I'm a first-term citizen of the United States, in other words, first generation.
Who are your father?
My father was John Pestrak. He was a steel worker, and he came from Austria-Hungary back in 1906. He came to the steel towns and coal mines. So that my political philosophy was molded at a young age because my dad, being a steel worker, naturally was a strong union man, and the Democratic Party has always been strong union. So I naturally followed that. But even more so than that, I developed a feeling that even though I was a professional engineer and didn't always agree with people I worked with, my philosophy is that people are more important than things, and that I've always felt I was a progressive in the case of social change. We must have change for the social betterment of all the people. And I find that the Democrat Party, in my lifetime, from, say, 1932 to the present, is in the forefront for change. And always, I think, for the better.
What are your tactics for running a campaign during a certain year? You must have a mode by now.
Well, my strategy always has been that you have to sell. In politics, it's a selling business. As you know, lately they do selling jobs on TV and radio and magazines. And back in the old days when I started in politics, selling was a door-to-door effort. And so you usually started out, and if you're running for third ward council as I was, you hit the six precincts and try to hit them door-to-door, indicate who you were let them take a look at you and attempt to indicate that you had the background, the experience, and the desire that you thought you could move the city ahead. As time went on, the pattern changed. It was no longer what you did door to door. It became a radio method of campaigning. So back in the 60s and 70s, we used the radio extensively by paying for political ads, indicating that as a party we had more to offer. We usually ran on a platform, a local platform, spelled it out, indicating what we thought we'd do if we were elected as a unit. So we ran as units. In other words, we ran as a group of candidates pledged to one idea, and that is if we ran for the city of Warner. When I ran for mayor, I gathered around me the council candidates and indicated to them what my platform was, and tried to get them to work around the platform. If we had any differences, we worked them out so that we had one common purpose. When I ran for commissioner, excuse me, I ran on a basis that I had the background as the county administrator, and I had the experience as mayor in the education that I thought that I could run this as a business, as a corporation, and went to the people, to Trumbull County, and indicated that I thought I had more experience, more background, more knowledge than the party that was here, and apparently I convinced the people because I was elected and reelected.
Okay, switching to the party, when do you think the Trumbull Democratic Party was at its peak of existence, and who were some of the individuals and events that made this high point possible?
Oh, I would say, Mark, that we're at the peak now. We control every office but two in the whole county. And of the five cities, I think we control all but one city. So that as far as peaks go, I can remember when I started in the 30s that the Democrats were a mere handful. And even your grandfather, Harry Dittmer, the county engineer back 30 years ago, we had a rough time convincing people to run on a Democrat ticket. And as time went on, we became more Democrat. And it was a normal procedure because Warren initially was a conservative town and area. And local owners of industry and business died off. They were normally Republicans. We had an influx of steel workers and auto workers who are Democrats by tradition. So that as far as Trumbull County Party, the Democrat Party, we're at the peak now. We have all the judges in the courthouse, and we do not control the commissioner's office nor the coroner's office, or the county engineers, but we control every other office. So I'd say right now, we're peaking.
Having speculated on the highest point, when do you believe the Democratic Party was at its lowest?
Oh, I would say back in in 1960s, we had a low spot where the Republicans were able to move in and pick up some county offices and some cities. But the trend normally is that American politics, the people we all let Republicans in there so long, and then they vote for changes. Americans very seldom vote for candidates. They're usually anti-voters and usually say, well, let's throw the rascals out. So I think indications are, even from the national ticket to the local ticket, that people will vote names, and if they recognize names and they think that a party is doing a good job, then I think they'll maintain them in office. We've had low spots back in the 40s. I'd say right after World War II, during the war, people didn't pay too much attention to voting. And so therefore, there were no changes. When the GIs came back in the late 40s and began to run for public office, I think the veterans supported the veterans, and that began to change the picture.
Now, speaking on the internal structure of the party, what is the significance of the precinct committee men in Trumbull County and the executive committee in Trumbull County?
Well, I think that's the key to a good party organization. If the member of the central committee will only take care of the three or four streets that are involved in a precinct and know his voter and canvass it for the unregistered voter and cooperate with the executive committee. Executive committee is made up of certain districts. So many precincts are under a particular executive committee member, or the at-large executive committee members, of course, then handle the complete county. But the precinct committeeman is really the key to an election success. If they know their voters, if they'll canvass their precincts, if they'll get the message across, then inevitably you're going to carry the precincts. I would say of the 280 or 85 precincts, the Democrats now prevail in probably 230 or 40 of them, because we have a strong central committee organization, where the opposition party has failed to, at 50 or 60 committee posts, even to select a committeeman. We feel within 10 of ours every year there are contests for central committee. There's no pay, there is some prestige. So that the heart of the Democrat Party is the tight organization from the grassroots.
Let's say a person wanted to run for a position in the county and he wasn't well liked by the central committee. What would be his chances of being picked in a primary?
Very good. They would naturally, normally the party does not interfere in the primary. We do not endorse. We have not endorsed. So that therefore, even if you were unpopular with the party per se, there wouldn't be any organized effort against you because the Democrat Party of Trumbull County does not endorse. The Democrat Party in Mahoning County does endorse and pick candidates in a primary. We have not to this point. So depending on the amount of effort you wanted to put out, I'd say you had as good a shot as anybody.
Where is the strength of the executive committee? Or is there a strength?
No, I think the executive committee is important in that it's a liaison between the chairman and the secretary in spelling out the policy of the party in executive session. But the executive committee members really are not the grassroots. The central committee is the grassroots.
At this present time, if you were ordained as the head of the Democratic Party or chairman, what type of platform would you run and what changes would you like to see come about?
Well, that's kind of a hard question. The Democrat chairman in Ohio, in each county, does not have the strength or the power that he used to have, because office holders today are more or less responsible for their personnel, and it's getting more professional. Most people either are college graduates or trained for their position or classified or certified employees on civil service, so the political influence is downplayed. I would only say that if I were chairman, I don't know whether I'd do things any differently or not. To maintain a strong organization, I would say that you have frequent meetings with the office holders to see that we're all in accordance with what we're trying to do. But I don't see where there's any panacea for saying that if I were chairman, I'd do this or that differently. I don't see where the chairman makes that much difference.
What future do you see for the Trumbull County Democratic Party?
Well, I'd like to see us take the rest of the offices. I think it has a bright future because we're attracting, according to my information, we are attracting more young people into our party in Trumbull County than the opposition is attracting theirs, because I think the younger generation is more liberal, more progressive, more social conscious. Therefore, they're attracted more to our party because of, well, President Jimmy Carter and John Glenn. We have some outstanding younger senators and people in office that do attract the younger generation. I think our future is very bright. I think the opposition party is having problems because the conservative element of the Republican Party, of course, does not control the party anymore. I think they've had a revolt in their party, and a lot of the opposition party that voted Democrat in the last election, they had to, or things might have been different.
Okay. If there was a decade in the 20th century that you could see that had a vital change in the era of politics, what decade would you specifically pick out? This is on the national scene. And why would it be important to you as far as a change in style of politics?
The Democrat Party did an about shift, in my opinion, in 1932 with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That's when the Democrat Party became a people's party, a populist party, in that when FDR came into office, we were probably at the lowest ebb this country's ever been in. And FDR, being the astute politician he was and having the people around him, understood that. And he knew that unless he made some drastic changes, there were some benefits for the farmer and the man that worked and the unemployed, the system wouldn't survive. And so I would say from the 30s to the 40s was the turnaround in the Democratic Party. We became the party of change for social good, social change. That's when Social Security became an effort on behalf of those who retire, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation. The banks were folding and the FDIC became a law. The three C's came into being to help the young people out. I think that from 30 to 40, from 1932 to the World War, 1941, World War II, this was the effort that changed the party around, and we became a party of the people. Prior to that, I think we did not make the impact as evidenced by the fact that Coolidge, Harding, and Hoover were elected president. Therefore, the Democrat leadership was not attuned with the people.
Political scientists, they come to believe that there's very little difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party on the national scale, and that mode of the two being very similar will eventually cause a splitting or a external device of having the two eventually merge and then one splitting off into a tangent. What future do you see for the Democratic Party as a whole, and where do you think the Republican Party will crank off to?
I can't see the Democrat Party splitting. The conservative Democrats in our party do not have the influence they once had. I think the committee structure is changing in the Senate and in the House, and the old guard is dying off, and the young breed are coming in, 40 or 50 new congressmen and senators, and I think they're tuned more into social change. I think the Republican Party has a problem in that they have a liberal element in their party that is at odds with the conservative wing of the party. Ronald Reagan versus Paul McCloskey, for instance. I think they may have a split. Now, it may be that someday, instead of the Democrat and Republican Party, we may wind up with a conservative and liberal party, and that the Republicans who are liberal will find their way into the Democrat Party, and the Democrats who are conservative will find their way into the conservative party. But I don't see in my lifetime that the Democrat Party is in any serious problem of splitting up. I think when you can elect a president from Georgia, it indicates that the political winds are shifting, and that people no longer follow geographic areas, and that your philosophy is more important than where you came from.
Speaking upon Jimmy Carter now, where do you think Jimmy Carter is going to go in his league as the new president? And why did Jimmy Carter have a good press?
Well, I think Jimmy Carter found out the first thing he had to do was to sell Jimmy Carter. So he wound up with a good press because he had good PR men. And if you recall in the primary, people said, Jimmy who? So Jimmy Carter had to start out and sell the people the idea that Jimmy Carter was a serious candidate, and that he had some ideas and they were different, and that he wanted a new approach to old problems, and the people bought it. So I'd say he had a tremendous PR organization. And I would say they're running for president, that's probably 75% of the battle is the image you create. And I think he's still creating images. And I do say this, though, that I think he's seriously attempting to take a new approach to old problems, and it's encouraging to see that he has the courage to do the things that his predecessor didn't. I have great confidence that in the 4 years he is there, that he will make some changes. At this point, I don't think Jimmy Carter's worrying about whether he's going to get reelected again, which most politicians worry about when they first get elected. They worry about the second term. I think he's going to do what has to be done. He has to turn this country around. And if he can't turn it around in 4 years, then I don't think he will be interested in being a candidate just for being candidate's sake.
Well, these are all the questions I have up and out. Is there anything that I haven't mentioned that you'd like to discuss or...
No, I'm very happy to see that Youngstown University, Youngstown State University, and you, Mark Dittmer, are interested in not only local politics, but national politics. I think the generation to come will decide which direction this country will move. And I think the system works. I'm very happy that it did work during the Watergate episode. It proved that you could stretch it to its ultimate and still held together. And it's the best system man ever devised. There's nothing wrong with it, except that people sometimes get lax when 39% or 40% of the people make an effort to vote. That's a very sad commentary, because then minorities could control situations in this country that may not always be for the best interest. I always admire anybody that gets into the political arena. You have to have a thick skin, and it takes a lot of your time. But government is very important. I think it's an honorable profession. I think it's been degraded to some extent by certain people. But you can't say that politics is rotten and all politicians are thieves, because if you say that, then you're saying that the system that was set forth 200 years ago by some brilliant men, young men attacked, the oldest probably was Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and Thomas Paine. And I feel that it's a worthy profession, and I think that young people should think about serving in public life. I think it's the most important thing you can do is to serve the government.
Well, one last question. Talking about Watergate, a lot of people have speculated that Watergate was a low point for American politics, but essentially, do you see anything good that came out of Watergate?
I see a lot of good that came out of it. As I indicated, the system has not been tested since Andrew Johnson was impeached. And it withstood it in 1876, and it withstood it again in the 1970s. The good came out of it was that party lines were forgotten in Congress by the impeachment committee. You had Republicans and Democrats who had to search their souls and who had to put their politics aside and indicate that the country was at stake. A lot of good came out of it because it was a cleansing process. And maybe that's what we needed to indicate that even the President of the United States has to answer to somebody. I think that was good. It's unfortunate that it happened, but I think it pointed out to the world that here we are, a free society, and the highest office in the land, the man there has to answer to the people. I think that was the good that came out of it. The sad parts that came out of it, that there were a lot of people and their families that were affected adversely, and you have to feel sorry for them. But ours is a government of checks and balances, and you have the legislative, the judicious, and the executive, and one has to check the other, and it worked.
Thank you.